Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to talk about some Blackhawks rumors. We're going to talk about the last game that they had, that heartbreaker against the Bruins. Man, what a crazy game, man. And we're going to get going. But before I do, I want to let everybody know I'm very, very thankful for everyone that's listening. We're very appreciative of the listenership. And we're going to keep on releasing some podcasts for you. So if this is your first time here, welcome. If you've been here before, thanks for coming back. This is the FHN podcast. And here we go. So the Blackhawks lost to the Bruins in overtime. I think that game was what, Matt? Like 43-13 in that one?
Yeah, we got outshot big time. Fleury stood on his head. It would have been a goalie win if we did win. But, he had a great performance. If any scouts were there and they're thinking this guy doesn't have it, this guy still has it, and he'd be a huge asset for a team at the deadline that's needing a goaltender. And there are some teams out there that need one.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that he played well. I didn't think the team played terrible, but they just couldn't get any shots on the goalie. You know, it just seemed like Boston was soaking up everything that, you know, they were practically throwing at him. To be honest with you, Boston, if you look at the, you know, the shots, you know, the shot differential, you know, Boston really didn't look that good, man. I mean, they're a good team, and they skate well and they play well, but it wasn't like the ice was tilted, you know, in one direction. Do you think that Boston's going to go far if they, you know, make it to the playoffs?
I think if Brad Marchand could stay disciplined, anything could happen. But if he's going to start gooning it up like he's kind of been doing this year, that's going to cost his team a lot. He's a huge part of that team. And even Taylor Hall had a good game against the Hawks. He had 2 assists. He had 4 shots. And Patrice Bergeron is still an awesome player. He had 6 shots. And Pasta had 9. And you know what? That overtime, the refs did miss a call, and it hurt the Hawks.
Wow.
So I don't like to blame the officiating, really, but right. You know, it sometimes it's like, come on, how do you miss stuff like that? And I think the game in Ottawa, there was a couple missed calls that just drive you nuts. And so I'm not sure about that. But with Boston, I think Boston could maybe get to the second round of the playoffs and surprise people, but I don't see them getting any farther than that.
Do you see them kind of in the same boat as the Pens?
I honestly think the Pens can go really far depending on Tristan Jarry and his goaltending. He's been really good. He really turned it around since that ugly playoff performance last year. If he could stand on his head like he is doing in the season, I don't see why the Penguins can't even make it to a final. And I'm hearing rumors that there could be a Malkin-Kessel reunion, which would be pretty freaking funny because those guys were great together. They're always yelling at each other on the bench. Why? What are you doing? It's my man. And then they go out and score. And, you know, he won 2 cups with those guys. I think he'd make a good fit with those guys, and he can make another deep run.
Yeah. You know, back to the Hawks, I thought that the team didn't play too bad. You know, Jonathan Toews, I thought that he played pretty well. I mean, he had 2 goals in the game prior to that. Kaner was playing well. I thought Doc was playing okay. And, you know, it's funny, man, because, you know, Doc has been playing, you know, wing, center. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's like a misplay for him to play the wing because I think he plays the center position very well. He just can't win any faceoffs. Dylan Strome I'd like to note, I believe was about 11 for 17 from the dot. He had a good day at the dot, and that's what we need, which is really ironic that the shots were so one-sided because he and Toews were, you know, they were winning faceoffs. Do you think that Strome is playing for a contract, or do you think Strome is maybe taking that next step in developing and maybe leaving his, you know, his reputation behind as a no-show?
I think it could be 3 things. 1, he wants more money and a new contract with the Hawks. 2, he's playing to get out of here. He's doing the best he can. Or 3, he just wanted to play with Patrick Kane and Kaner wants to play with him and it's just working out. So, I mean, I personally like what you said last podcast about him. He's good now and his value's up. It's probably the highest it's going to get. Maybe it's time to move him. I mean, some teams might want him and see this play like, wow, what has he got, like 20-something points in like 18 games now?
Yeah.
That's huge going into the deadline, and they want to – teams are going to want a guy that's producing like that. But for us, he's just too streaky. I feel like he's had his shots here, and he's mostly been dropping it. Like, he's just been bad. And this last stretch, he's been good. But where has this been for the last 2-3 years?
I agree.
We needed more out of him. And so I think now that the value's high for him, now that's the time to probably move on. And if you're going to rebuild, you can't keep everybody. You know, I keep seeing people saying, let's keep Strom, let's keep Kane, let's keep Hagel, let's keep DeBrincat, let's keep him. It's like, well, that's not a rebuild then.
Yeah, that's like 3/4 of the team.
Yeah, that's not a rebuild. So, I mean, those are the pieces you have to move. The guys that
bring value
other teams want. That's when you say, okay, give us a second round pick. Thank you.
So, with Hagel, Dylan Strome. I don't know how I can confuse the two. It's like night and day.
Yeah.
You know, Dylan Strome has had his opportunity. At $3.5 million, I think we're overpaying for him. And I think that, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? It was nice, but it's time to move on. But we would need to sign a center to center the Patrick Kane to DeBrincat line. We were hoping that, you know, that Doc, you know, could be that guy. Unless he starts winning faceoffs, that's not going to happen. I think Doc is creative, and I think that he could, I think he'd be better off playing on a line with a couple shooters. I would think if Kubalik can get going, man, I don't see why, you know, Doc can't set him up all day. But, you know, Kubalik,
he just can't get going.
That's the problem. And what do we do? Because he played really, really well one season, and it's like a tale of two seasons here. So what do you think? What direction do you think we should move in with Kubalik? He didn't look too bad the other night, but he's not getting shots on goal.
Well, he does shoot. I guess they call it shot attempts, but they don't, you know, they don't hit the net. It's not a shot.
Right.
And majority of his shots are lofted like 3 feet over the crossbar. So, I'm going to jump to our next little topic here, but various reports have linked the Ducks to Kubalik now. So, and I guess the LA Kings are another team that like him. So, like I just said with Strome, if there's teams calling, we got to listen. And if it's a good offer, we got to take it. As a rebuilding team, I think, you know, we need young pieces or maybe more picks. I like Kubalik. I mean, didn't he score like 4 goals against the Oilers that playoff that they had where it was like a play to get in type of thing?
Yeah, the best.
And we knocked out the Oilers.
Yeah.
And I think he scored like 4 goals and he was on fire. And that made us like, oh, wow, this guy's good. I mean, we're going to be losing some guys in the next couple years.
Well, he was scoring all year though.
Yeah, and he's had that great shot, and it hasn't been there. So I think if another team's interested in him, I say we let him go too.
I think the Ducks would be a good team to deal with because
they've got
picks, man. You know, they haven't been good for a while, and they've got some picks. Do you think that we could get a first rounder for Kubalik?
I think with the inconsistency this season, probably not. But if this was last year, maybe.
If it was last year, we'd probably get a first rounder and a prospect.
Probably. I maybe we'll do a swap for like a player for player type of thing. Or maybe we'll get a second. I'm kind of highballing it. Maybe a third. But I mean, you're going to shed salary, which is huge when you're rebuilding. You want money to, you know, start, you know, investing in younger guys that are going to need money and you know, like DeBrincat, he's going to get paid, and we can't be paying Kubalik $4 million I think he's at $4 million to barely get 15 goals.
Yeah.
So it's not working out. I mean, he was a good Blackhawk, but you know, seems like a great guy, but it's time to move on.
Yeah, it's too bad. So we know who we have, but Matt, have you ever thought about like who we should bring in? Like any, are, have any players ever crossed your mind been like, you know what? This is a guy we need on a team. We need a young kid like this. You know, we need an established guy like this. Is there anybody that stands out in the league that you're like, you know what? We need to go after this guy. Last year, we were talking about Seth Jones. We talked about him all year and we got him.
You're right. Yeah.
Who do you think is the next guy that the Blackhawks need to get? Who's the next piece?
I don't think the next piece is even in the draft talks yet. I think it's going to be a pick. That when you're rebuilding, I mean, we were in a little bit of a different situation when we wanted Jones. I know me and you were probably one of the first podcasts to talk about
it. We were.
And when they got him, we looked like geniuses. But I think when you're at a beginning stage of a rebuild, we're not going to expect anything unless it's, you know, like a guy, like a utility type of player, you know, that's needing a job for like a year or two just to help young guys develop. But if I had to pick a guy we should go after, which will never happen, it's Mo Sider. That's like the type of guy that the Hawks need. This guy, I don't know if you saw last night, McDavid turned on his Jets. Mo Sider skated with him and poked it away just as McDavid was cutting in to get a shot on the side of the pretty much the goal line. He made a quick cut and Mo just took it away like nothing. It's like he doesn't care who you are. He's just a great player. And that's the type of player we need to draft. Or if Davidson could find a guy in the AHL that's close, go for it. But as of like NHL big names, free agents, I don't see the Hawks doing anything.
Wow.
It just doesn't make sense.
Are there any big free agents that are going to be due this year?
You know what, man? I don't think so.
Just off the top of your head, is there anybody that stands out that could possibly be available?
Well, the only guys I know that are available probably are, what's his name? Claude Giroux. He's going to be a free agent, but he's not going to, you know, why would he leave Philly to do the same thing in Chicago?
Right.
So, I mean, and Joe Pavelski signed a 1-year extension with the Stars. He's another guy that he could fit on any single NHL team, no matter what position they're in. That's just how good he is. But yeah, there's really not many free agents this season coming up that are, you know, big names.
Right. I think next season there might be a few, but this season I haven't really heard too much.
There's going to be some good restricted free agents, but I don't see Davidson making like offer sheet types of things, because if you do an offer sheet, prepare to get it matched or lose first round picks. And that's not something you want during a rebuild.
Right.
So I don't see the Hawks doing much, and maybe adding, you know, like third line, maybe a second line guy tops, but it's going to be a very young team. It's probably going to get younger the next 2 years. And then the third year, kind of like the Red Wings are right now, slowly, you know, like a 500 team. But I know Detroit's been struggling lately. They kind of fell a little bit. But they're young. They're young still, but they got some, you know, promising guys. So it's going to take the Hawks a while.
Yeah. You know, me personally, I don't see Davidson as a betting man. But if you are and you're looking to place bets and want to do it as the action rolls in, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has your shot to win big. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's right. A bump in the win column for our team means free bets for you, and we need every bet that we can get. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still have a shot to light the lamp. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Now, if you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use our promo code SHYTOMAHAWK, bet just $1 on any NHL team, and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code SHYTOMAHAWK at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 or older, restrictions apply. Look in the show notes for some details. Now, Matt, if you're looking to place money on any team that is going to make a splash at the deadline, who do you think it's going to be?
It's got to be the Maple Leafs. They need help. I think the Maple Leafs in out east and Vegas west.
Wow. You know, we were just talking with Jake that Vegas should maybe cut their losses where they are and regroup for next year.
I agree with him, but I like I said, their owner, he's a nut, man. He wants that Stanley Cup, and he's like, I'm paying all this money for all these top players. I'm trading young picks, and you know, for like Jack Eichel was traded, Max Pacioretty they brought in, they brought in Robin Leonard. They gave up some picks and prospects, and this guy's crazy. So I think I could see Vegas making a push for maybe some help. Maybe Colorado. I know they made a minor. Well, you can't call it a minor trade. Josh Manson's a pretty good defenseman. He'll help that blue line out. But, you know, I hear stuff like Claude Giroux going to Colorado. But who, like, if you're Philly, who are you asking for back? I'm asking for Bo Byram. If I'm giving up Claude Giroux, my franchise, you know, center.
Yeah, but is he that guy still?
I think he is, man. I think he's going to be like a Kaner point a game type of guy. He doesn't score many goals, but that guy gets a shit ton of assists. And you want a playmaker, you know, yeah, on your top six like that, especially like with McKinnon and, you know, all those. They got a ton of good players up there, like Kadri. If they had a guy like Giroux in the middle of that, oh, man, it would be even scarier.
Do you think Giroux can keep up with those guys? I mean, when those guys play, man, their hair is on fire.
I think he could, and I think he would be. Honestly, I think he'd be good on any of the teams rumored. I know Florida wants him. Carolina wants him. I think he'd fit in anywhere. St. Louis, I've heard, is kind of pushing their chips in too. But I think that team would kind of slow him down, actually, because they kind of play like a Philly style. They're kind of like Philly of the West. You know, they're tough, they'll hit you, and they can play that game. And that's like playoff hockey, the way they play. You know, they'll grind it out, they can outscore you. It kind of reminds you of the 2010 Hawks. They can, like, play down to anyone's, like, team. I know Vancouver was a shooting gallery. The West Final was very close. I know we swept the Sharks, but that was a very close series. I think most of the games were one-goal victories. I think it was like 2-1, 4-3, stuff like that. But I think the Blues, if they got him, I think he still would be good. But I think Claude Giroux is more of an offensive player than a defensive-minded player, you know? So I think Florida, Carolina, or Colorado would be the likely destinations for him. If he wants to go, he might want to stay. So you never know. I mean, look at Patrick Kane even said, hey, I want to stay. I want to be a lifer Hawk. And Giroux can come out and say, hey, I want to resign with Philly. I don't care. This is my city. I've been here for 1,000 games. I think he just played his 1,000th game. So he's going to be – his number will probably be retired one day with Philly. Yeah. That's how important he was. And you never know. We might see Monday Claude Giroux is not going anywhere. And in the summer he'll sign like a 3-4-year deal and, you know, just ride off into the sunset when it's over.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, man. No, and to be honest with you, I think that it's, I understand teams, you know, you want to get what you can, but at the same time, you got a guy who's put so much into the organization. You should let him ride off on his own terms, you know?
Yeah. Let him decide.
I think that's the same thing is going to happen with Taves and Kaner, man. I honestly, man, you know, going back to the Blackhawks, you know, since we're talking about players that could possibly go somewhere, you mentioned that Calvin DeHaan is a player that can go to one of these teams, say like Toronto. They're in need of a defenseman. I believe that they are. Someone who can play defense. And DeHaan is that guy. Can he stay healthy though? That's the thing. Do you think that DeHaan can stay healthy to chip in with Toronto?
I think he'd be good on that team. You know, he's not going to be playing big minutes. They got other guys that are invested for that. But I think he'd fit right in. And if he didn't, I know the Hawks are younger. They make more mistakes and stuff. We see our young guys making bad passes. Even Calvin DeHaan makes bad plays. But when you're on a kind of a bad team, that stuff just happens. But if he is on a team where you got Austin Matthews putting up 50 goals a year, and, you know, you got Tavares, who's a great two-way player. He's turning into a very good two-way player, and he could put up some big points. I mean, it just makes you feel better. It's like, look at the guys in front of me now. Like, I got, like, an all-star team offense. I just got to do my job and, you know, just make the simple plays. And I think he would fit right in with that team.
I'd like to agree, but it took him a little bit to get settled when he was with the Hawks, though.
Well, I don't think he wanted to be a Blackhawk. I think he was traded here. I know. I think he signed a deal with Carolina, correct? Wasn't it like a 4-year deal?
Yeah.
And we ended up trading him. I know Bowman really wanted to hunt, but I mean, I think if he's playing with a guy that's more experienced, I think he'd be okay. I know Seth Jones was his partner here and there, but you know, we the Hawks have always done this since Q. They never kept stuff the same. Yeah. I mean, Keith and Seabrook, yes, we know the playoffs. That's it. Those guys are together and Hammer, and it was Hammer and Oduya.
Yeah.
But this poor guy he's been playing with, you know, one day he'd be with McCabe, one day he'd be with Stillman, one day he'd be with Seth Jones and Caleb Jones. It's like, yeah. Come on, how do you, you got to like get some chemistry. Even defensive guys need chemistry.
Right.
So maybe he'll find it with that Jake Muzzin. Maybe he'll be with Morgan Rielly over there. I definitely think he's going to end up with the Leafs. I've been hearing so many reports for weeks about this. I don't know why it's taking so long.
What do you think the Hawks can get in return?
Probably a second round pick. I honestly would like to see a prospect, like a younger defensive prospect, which would be great. I also heard things with Fleury and DeHaan packaged for a first round pick, which would be, wow. You know, it would be good. It's going to definitely be a high first round pick, but still that's a first round pick that you got in the draft that we don't have. And that's a win for Davidson. That's huge to acquire that. I mean, pretty much getting the job a couple weeks before the deadline. I mean, that takes some skill. And you know what? He wasn't my first choice as a GM, but if he could somehow do something like that, I'm going to be behind the guy and I'm going to support him.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't think Fleury's going to go anywhere. Like I've mentioned before, I think he's just at a point in his life where he's just going to enjoy playing hockey and, you know, his family stays and, you know, they don't have to worry about him being traded. He didn't want to leave Vegas, man. You know, he settled down there and he was, you know, living his life. Going to work every day was being an NHL player. That was his thing. And then the rug got pulled out from underneath him and was considering retiring. Blackhawk said, hey, look, man, you can do that here. And he wants to play another year, which throws a monkey wrench into the whole development of Kevin Lankinen. But
it did hurt. Definitely, this season has been a lost season for Lanks. I feel bad for him. I know he's been injured, and Fleury's just been good.
Yeah, he has.
But the thing with Fleury now, like what you're getting at, I agree with you. I don't think he wants to leave, but I keep hearing reports of him saying nothing is off the table. It's almost like saying, I'd like to stay, but you know what? If I got a good chance to make another run at a Stanley Cup, I think I'm going to take it. So until I hear it from Fleury or his pain in the ass agent, Walsh, like, no, we're staying put in Chicago for the year. We're going to finish out the year and we'll see how I feel in the summer and stuff. But we haven't heard any of that stuff. We've been hearing stuff saying, oh, don't rule anything out. Don't rule anything out. So Monday we'll see.
So Thomas Hertl signed an 8-year extension with the Sharks. Yep. It looks like he's going to be a lifer there.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's an 8-point-something cap hit, too, which is pretty damn good for him. And I think Logan Couture is another guy that signed an 8-year deal recently, maybe the last 2 or 3 years. But those guys got some chemistry together. He's a young talent. He's been very good. I know Nick from the 30 on Broadway has been hoping the Rangers would acquire him, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen because he signed that 8-year extension with Dougie Wilson and the Sharks.
Yeah, I remember when I picked him up off of the waiver wire his rookie season in the NHL in fantasy hockey.
Oh, yeah.
He was good, man.
Yeah, he scored 4 goals in his first game, I want to say.
Yeah, like, he
that's
did.
That's how good he was.
He did, yeah. I saw that. I saw he had 4. I was looking on the waiver wire. I saw he had 4 goals in one game. I was like, hey, I'll give it a shot. And you know what? He panned out for me.
So he's having a good season this year, man. He's got 25 goals, 23 assists, 48 points. It's pretty good for a team that you don't, you know, they're. I don't know what the Sharks are. I think they kind of need to take a step back like the Hawks and, you know, keep their young guns. And I know they had some bad luck with that Evander Kane situation. He is just, that was just a brutal thing for the Sharks. They invested $7 million in.
He scored for them, though.
Yeah, he scored goals, but he was just a prick, you know, on and off the ice. And actually, I take that back. He was a prick off the ice, which led him, you know, they had to buy him or not buy him out. They had to terminate the contract, and Edmonton jumped all over it. And quite honestly, he's playing pretty good with Edmonton, too.
Yeah, he is.
But I like Thomas Hertl. I actually like Logan Couture. The Sharks, I just, you know, they need to start developing some kids, and maybe the Hawks and the Sharks will be good one day at the same time. I think it's kind of like the same phase in their, you know, development. It's going to probably take a while, but I think they're a little bit ahead of us. But we still got Kaner. I'm glad that Kaner said he doesn't want to get traded. He wants to stay and
yeah,
he wants to re-up. That makes me feel good. I mean, during a rebuild, usually it sucks, but Kaner will still bring fans in the stands, which is important. And you know, he's going to probably chase that 500 goal milestone. And, you know, it's like Ovechkin going after Gretzky's record. I think he just passed, what was it, Jaromir Jagr the other night. So he's Gordie Howe's in his crosshairs. Yeah. Oh, you don't think he's going to do it?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I think that he's going to end up number 2 on the list. Father Time's going to take its, toll on him, man.
I just feel like that's all the Caps care about right now.
I know. I think it is. If you talk to that fan base, they're like him breaking Gretzky's record means more than a Stanley Cup. It's like, what?
I know you guys got one already, but it's like, what about the other guys on the team? I mean, they're competing every night. It's like, why are you forgetting about that? Like TJ Oshie, he's a competitor, and Nicholas Backstrom's had a good season. You know, he was injured for a while. He's come back, and I just feel like that's all I hear about Washington is Ovi. He scored in his office, and he just passed Jagr. And it's like every other night, Ovi scored. Ovi scored too. He's getting closer and closer. It's like, man, he's going to need 4 years to catch Gretzky. And he's got to have a couple 50-goal seasons probably to do it.
Here's the thing, too. Gretzky did it in 20 years. And at the end of his career, he was a point-a-game player. Yeah.
I think Ovi will be too, just because he's so good on the power play.
Yeah.
But still, he's a great player. And I'm more of a Sidney Crosby guy. You know, they're always comparing those two guys.
Right.
But Sid gets the cups. You know, he'll get trophies.
I'd pick Crosby every day of the week.
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning of it, when Crosby was in his really whiny phase, it was kind of like annoying. It's like, dude, come on, just play the game.
Yeah.
And it's like Ovi scoring goals like on his back.
I remember that.
I'm team Ovi, you know, right now. I'm team Ovi. But then over the years, Crosby's really matured. You know, he's grown up and 3 Stanley Cups. He's quiet. You never hear anything about him in the media. It's like he's just like a well-spoken guy and
He's a franchise guy, man.
Yeah, he's just a guy that cares about the Penguins and his teammates, and it almost seems like Ovi's, once he got that cup, it's like, oh yeah, I'm done. Let's go get that goal scoring record.
Yeah,
and it's like everyone on Washington, get the puck to Ovi, no matter what.
Yeah,
I feel like the owner is even like that too. I'm going to give him his 4-year deal just so he can catch Gretzky. It's like, what about the rest of your team, bro?
I know, 100%, man. Well, everybody, it's been a great. That's all that we got for you tonight. Be sure to check us out. We got a new one coming out next Tuesday, and we'll see you then. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.